We need some miracles in the house. We need deliverance in the house. We need to know what it is that God can do for us if we'll just let Him. Amen. I'm going to make some changes in my outline this morning that I think are kind of crucial, but I want you to get the gist of it. I'm going to begin something this morning that for you to know it all, you're going to have to come back tonight. And I believe that it will touch you in a way that you will want to know your rights as a child of God. I don't care what our government passes. I'm first and foremost a citizen of God's kingdom. And I will obey their laws as long as they don't interfere with God's laws. But there's one thing we will do. Pray for Israel. You hear me? Give honor to Israel. Support them. Give them glory and honor towards God. Let them know that God's got a people that will still raise them up to the throne of glory and will still believe that God can keep them, and everything will take place just as God said in His Word. Some people have it in their idea that Israel doesn't deserve to exist. Well, I believe they have as much right to exist as America, if not more so, because they are God's people. Amen. I want you to go with me in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. And what I'm going to hit on about six things this morning. Then tonight there'll be seven things that I will share with you. But I'm going to tell you something. I am convinced this morning that God's children are living beneath their privilege. You hear me? God's people are living beneath their privilege. As we left Brother Ernie yesterday, went and saw a dear friend of mine. Her husband is in the hospital. She was my clerk in Fair Bluff, and precious couple. He just got saved a few years ago, and he's been serving the Lord. But they told him there's nothing else they can do for his heart. His name's J.C. Batten. And I told her when we left, I said, there might not be much they can do, but we serve a God that can raise him up and heal him to His glory. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I want you to hang with me for just a minute in that scripture. In a few days, we're going to celebrate Memorial Day. A few more weeks after that, we will celebrate a day of independence where we celebrate the birth of our nation and the separation from the tyranny of England. 13 colonies were born, and yet they came together in unity and did what most thought was impossible as they began a new nation on this land you and I know as America. The founding fathers of our group came together and they wrote a Declaration of Independence. They wrote a constitution. They wrote a Bill of Rights. And they tell what is our rights as Americans. I want to tell you something, church. As we see the hourglass of God coming to a close, our rights as citizens are going to become less and less. But there's one thing I want you to know. There's also another side of this rights thing. They guarantee us the freedom of religion. And because of that guarantee, we're allowed to worship God in our own way. Amen. I'm going to find it interesting, and I'm praying the finances will be where we can do this on Labor Day weekend. This is my dream, and I hope you will get on board with me on it, that we are able to put the big tent out in front of the fellowship hall. We're going to set up a temporary stage. I knew there was a reason we didn't cut that up and throw it away, James. We need that temporary stage. And we're going to have an outdoor gospel singing. I'm anxious to see if they come by and tell me to tone it down, turn it off, or turn it up. But you know what? That's our right as a church to worship God. Amen? They don't mind the juggling gypsy down here playing music till 11 o'clock at night. So I don't think they ought to mind us playing till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Amen? And let the world know there is an alternative to what's out there. Amen? We have a right to freedom. We have a right to the pursuit of happiness. We have a right to assemble together in worship. We have a right to freedom of speech and to publish anything we want to until it affects the wrong crowd. And then they start whining and complaining that we've crossed the barrier. Amen? But I want you to realize something. There's a reason today that you and I are enjoying, even in the midst of recession, being the greatest nation in all the world. And I believe it's because we were founded on godly principles. No matter what they want to say, separation of church and state, you know, fine. Believe that if you want to. We were founded one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Amen. And we're a nation that loves the land of Israel and lifts them up as God's people. And as long as we've done that, God has seen to it that we have been free, and we're still free today. But I want you to see something in a different light this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the belief of rights. And I want to say to you today that as children of God, we have certain rights that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has given us, and no one can take them away. Amen? The reason, and I'm going to say this, and please don't take offense to what I'm going to say right now. The reason many of you today are sick when you should be well. The reason many of you are weak when you should be strong. Or defeated when you could be victorious is simply because you don't know your rights in God. You don't realize the authority that you've been given as a child of God. I want to give you a thought today, and it's simply this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus did something for you and I. He established for you and I a bill of rights as children of God. Look there with me to Isaiah 43 and 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. There are 13 believers' bill of rights, 6 of which I will give you this morning, or as God will allow me to, as the Spirit leads me this morning. I want you to realize you have the right to know that all your sins are forgiven, and will, you know, when you think about that, that you have eternal life and you have it dwelling inside of you right now. How many of you know you're saved? Amen. Then can I tell you something? You're on your way to heaven. You don't have to know the day nor the hour or the very minute. But you know one thing. You're attentive to the voice and the trump of God. And when that trump sounds, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, caught up to be with them forever with the Lord. Amen. Think about it. He said, I'm the one that blots out your sin and your transgression. Why? Because he doesn't want to remember them. He's paid the price. He's done it all. He's forgotten about them. Well, preacher, I just don't understand it. About the time I start doing good, this little voice comes along and tells me that I'm a sinner, that I've done such sad and sorrowful things that there's no way that I'm going to get to heaven. Let me tell you something. That's not God talking to you. That's the devil. Amen. Better than that, most likely, it's not even the devil. It's one of his little nymphs, one of his little fallen spirits that was kicked out of heaven with him a long, long time ago. You see, you need to understand something this morning. I want to just insert this for some of you. The devil cannot be at your house and my house at the same time. Preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I know the word. The word says he's not omnipresent. In other words, he's not God. Only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can be at every place, at all the time, anytime they choose. But guess what? The devil is only one being, and he has not got the authority nor the power of God. He cannot be at Jerry Todd's house and my house at the same time. It is biblically, theologically impossible. If you think that, you need to get back in the Word. If you don't think he's limited. He's limited. Think about it. Every time he showed up on the scene, he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. Guess what? He was there. He was nowhere else. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he spoke through a thief. If you really are the Son of God, why don't you just come down from there? He was nowhere else. Hey, man, what are you saying, Pastor? Get it. God, help me to say this right and not offend you. You, none of us here today, okay? Are you ready? I don't believe none of us are as much a danger as we think we might be. And you know what? Until we become a danger, the devil's not going to show up at your door. It's those little devils, those little demon spirits that come knocking at your door. They will tempt you. They have that same authority, that same ability as the devil. They don't have all the power he has. They're subject under him. But guess what? He gives them charge to go and make your life miserable, a living hell if you please. Amen. Think about it. John 6 and 47 says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. One of these days, if the Lord tarries long enough, I'm going to grow old, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried. But guess what? I'm living forever. And I've begun doing that right now. My soul, my spirit is channeled to live forever. This old body is going to change and it's going to live forever. I'm on that journey. How about you this morning? You see, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have that right to know that all your sins are forgiven. Will you look to your neighbor and say, hey, we're sin-free as children of God. You see, eternal life is living on the inside. I refuse to mourn, I guess would be the word, when a child of God goes home. I want to celebrate with them because they've made it. The second right is to walk in divine health and healing and to conquer all sickness and disease that comes against you and your family. I'm going to give you a word for everything I'm sharing with you this morning. Listen to Jeremiah 30 and 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Now, there again, go to the original language. It was written in Hebrew. And what it says here, I will restore. It means to take back the lost ground. Why is Israel not going to give up what they have? Because God says, I'm going to restore. He's a restoring Savior. He's a restoring God today. And you need to understand that you have the right to have your health restored, your wounds healed, and have your captivity turned around. It's God's word for you. He said in Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You know, I believe the reason we see so much in attack and so much sickness in the church is we have failed to acknowledge what the Word says. Not trying to make anybody go on a guilt trip here this morning. I'm just trying to say we are living beneath our privilege. Amen. God loves us today. God said in His Word, it's my will, my desire to restore back to you. If the devil's taking something from you, you need to take it back in the name of Jesus. Your children are out there and they're wandering into sin. You need to take them back. Amen. You need to claim them for the kingdom of God and say, God, I raised them in the church. I dedicated them in your altar to serve you. And they're out there wandering aimlessly in sin. I want them back, and I want them back right now in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine what we could do if every lost son and daughter and grandchild and spouse comes back to this church? It will be full to capacity, two services every Sunday morning. Preacher, that's impossible. That's your problem. When it comes to you, it's impossible. Let me tell you something. Look me in the eye. All things are possible to them that believe the Word of God and believe that there's nothing impossible when God's in it. Amen. You have got to get to the point that you believe, thus saith the Word of God. He said, keep your focus on the Word. Keep your thoughts on the Word. Keep your heart on the Word. Everything you do needs to be centered on that Word today. Amen. Speak that word. Sneak in their bedroom when they're gone. Say, Lord, I need you to save them. I need you to sanctify them. I need you to fill them with the Holy Ghost. I need you to deliver them. Amen. I know of at least two people this week, I've been told, have cancer. One of those this morning in this very house. Let me say to you, my God has the ability to heal you today. Message is on time this morning. Somebody needs to hear this morning. You have the right to divine healing in this house today. We're going to have prayer line this morning, and it's going to make the devil mad, but that's okay. It's time to see us walk in divine healing today. How many of you believe God can do that? Amen? The third right you have is to come boldly before the throne of God to receive miraculous answers to your prayers. Come boldly. I grew up in the church as far back as I can remember, and I remember people saying, well, I'm just going to be humble. I'm not going to ask God to do anything. That's not what God said. God said, if you're my child, you come to me, and you know that you're in a right relationship with me, you come boldly before the throne of God and receive answers to your prayers. He said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me tell you something. Brother Ernie's in a time of need, but he also knows that God can get him through that. Amen. My dad's still in a time of need, but my dad knows that God can get him through this. Brother Boone testified this morning. Guess what? God still got him here. Amen. By all rights, he probably should have been dead two or three times ago. But yet, God has a purpose in his life. You heard him say that it's only because of God. And I want to tell you something. God gives us other chances to keep learning, to keep growing, and to keep doing and expound on the blessings of God. When you're in trouble, you need to understand something. You need to go to the throne of God. When you hear the doctor say, I'm sorry, you've got 6 months to live. You know what? You need to fall on your face. I'd do it right in front of the doctor and say, God, you've heard the report. Now, Lord, I still believe you're able right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In spite of the report, I'm healed by his stripes right now. You might scare the doctor to death, but I guarantee you, you'll get God's attention. He said, be bold when you pray. Be bold when you go into the throne room. But you know what's wrong with a lot of them? They want to sit back in their spiritual armchair and say, God knows what I'm going through. And if he wants me to do something about it, he will. Wrong! Get off your spiritual easy chair and seek the face of God, and God will do something about it. Amen. Jesus expects us to move and to get a hold of God. Oh, we've gotten so complacent. I don't know about you. I think choir sounded pretty good, praise team sounded good, but I want more. And that's no throw off on them. Don't go out here saying, boy, preacher, don't like what we're doing. That's not what I'm saying. I want more. I'm not satisfied. Come on now. Am I preaching the Church of God, folks, or what? If you're satisfied, you're sick. Oh, preacher, now you're going to call me a name. Read my lips. If you're satisfied with what you got right now, you're sick. You need to be constantly, the Bible says that we're to press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. That means there's no complacencies. There's no time to say, I'm satisfied. No, I feel like I'm being denied. I want more of God. People are counting on you to be spiritual. I don't want you to wear it on your sleeve. I don't want you to wear it on a t-shirt. I want it to be birthed in you that when you speak, even the demons of hell will tremble. You want the preacher to do all your praying. No, that ain't how it is. You want Sister Gwen or you want Sister Hattie or Brother Harold, somebody like that, to do all your praying. No,
The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the sickness, the healings, all the financial things, all your woes will be taken care of when you seek Almighty God. That didn't cost you a dime extra. That weren't there. What are you saying? I'm sick of this New Age church. It's powerless. Oh, they can sing. They can worship. They can't live worth diddly squat when they get out on the street. I'm going to get in trouble, sure as the world. I got a letter from our bishop this week telling me about the 9 failing every 15 days. And he sent me a list of books to read for when I fail or to help keep me from failing. I wadded up and threw it in the trash can. And that's no disrespect to him. We need to quit reading books and read the book. Oh, God, help me. I'm going to get a call, sure as the world. That's what's wrong with the church. Man, all these preachers out here writing all these books, where'd they get it from? The book. Oh, preacher, I found out something new. He's coming back in September the 11th, 2011. Not so. Get over it. They have prophesied His coming for thousands of years, and He ain't showed up yet. That does not mean that He's not going to. Somebody told me not long ago, I've been in it all my life. Heard it preached every way it can be preached. He ain't come, and I don't believe He's coming in my lifetime. I'm 58 years old. They tell me I have a life expectancy after my last physical. Probably I could live 75 to 80 years. My dad's going to be 80 next January. Gwen's live a long time. Amen. You can't kill us too easily. Can't get rid of us too easily. And I thought about that thing. If I live to be 80, Brother Gary, I'm going to look for Him every day of those 80 years. Just because He didn't come yesterday at 6 o'clock and the idiot missed it again and again and again, guess what? Doesn't mean He can't come at 12:30 this afternoon. You'll get part 2 in heaven if that'd be all right. But I don't think when you get there, you're going to have need of part 2. Amen. We'll be too busy dancing and singing around the throne of glory and giving God a high five and saying, yes, we've made it because we've been faithful in a few things. God will make us great and faithful and blessed in other things. God made me a promise. I keep preaching the truth. He's going to send people that want the truth. I've been told, and you've heard me tell you about the emails I get from our website. Lighten up a little bit, brother, and you can fill the house. There is no time to lighten up. People are perishing every day. Can I get an amen? The fourth right, I like this one. You have the right to believe that He'll meet your need and the needs of others will be met. Philippians 4:19. But my God, my God, shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. By First Bank? No. Carolina First? No. Oh, surely BB&T, preacher? No, I hate to disappoint you. By Christ Jesus. I've tried it, preacher, and it didn't work. You didn't do it right. I told somebody the other day, they're talking about tithing. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. I look over the financial report every month, every week that Brother Mike and them do the financial statement. I look who pays tithes. I know what you're doing. Some of you tithing, some of you tipping, some of you ain't giving at all. But you're going to heaven? Bible says sin is sin. Big sin, little sin, don't matter. But if you aren't tithing, guess what? You're a robber of the things of God. And I don't believe any robber's going to be there. Preacher, I got to pay tithes to get to heaven. I think so. I think I got enough word to back that up. Well, preacher, I can't tithe. He won't let me. So you're going to let somebody else doom your salvation? You need to stand up as a man or woman of God and say, look, we need to tithe. My parents taught me a long time ago, tithing's the only way. First thing they write out is their tithes. Even when Dad was sick and going through all he's been going through, I went up to their house to sit with him the other day, and you know what I saw? Their tithe laying there, already made out for Sunday. Whether they were going to be here or not, that tithe was made. That's the way I've been raised. And I want to tell you something. You want to be blessed? You really want to be blessed? You really want to be blessed? Give to God. But give it in the right attitude. Okay? Think about this. It says, God shall supply all your need. But listen to 2 Corinthians 9:6. There's a formula here. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7 says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a hateful giver, a stingy giver. He loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. When I give my tithe and my offering, I ought to have a smile on my face. It's not my union dues. It's not my dues to keep on preaching. It's what I owe God because God has blessed me. Came here with 14 people, not a dime in the bank. Watched them tow two of my vehicles out the driveway. But thanks be unto God, I'm driving better than I've ever driven before, and it cost me a whole lot less. Why? Because God said, I will give it to you. Well, I was an evangelist. Two youngins traveling all over the place, preaching the gospel. I had a reputation. They say, here comes the best dressed evangelist in the church of God. I was a lot lighter then, about 60 pounds lighter. And my mom and daddy sent me a suit. I used to think they sent them once a month. Italian suits, double cut tail. I was a good looking dude. Amen. But you know what? It's because I was blessed. I did what I was supposed to do. It didn't matter if it was a church, Brother John, running 30 or 300. We went there to preach the gospel. And you know what? God kept us, Brother Jerry, and he says we're going to reap of what we've sowed. And in those churches that we've sowed that didn't have anything, I knew a lady would sell biscuits 6 months before our arrival into that revival. And she said, our church is going to take care of the man of God. And they would give us an offering that would far exceed churches that run 500 because they wanted to sow into somebody's life. We did something a few days ago. Someone was in need of medicine. They didn't have the money to get it. We had the funds. I talked with Brother Mike Harrell, and we went ahead and did that thing. The person called me the next day. They don't attend this church, but they have family that do. And she said, Brother Gwynn, I want to thank you. And she said, I don't know if it's going to be $5 a week or $10 a week. I'm going to pay the church back. I said, stop right there. That was not a loan. It was a gift. You had a need. We met that need. God will take care of this church. I want to tell you something, friend. When people are down, we don't need to embarrass them. When people are down, we don't need to kick them one more time. We need to assist them when we can and trust that God will make it all work together. Amen? Think about it. God's given us seed to sow. And how we sow it bears record with how we reap the blessings of God. I've been so excited the last few months as I've watched many of our young adults coming on board tithing. It touches my heart. And I'm proud of them. And I'm just going to believe that God's going to continue to bless them, to continue to move in their lives and to help them. And when they need God, everything's in working order. You see, if you plant seed, you're never going to lose it. You're going to reap it. Amen. All this week, I've been planting my little garden throughout the week. And I looked at my wife, I said, look at there, babe. Those pepper plants are already so blessed. They already got peppers coming out on them. I thought, that's cool. A few more weeks, I'll be eating them peppers. I sowed them. I'm going to eat them. Stay out of my garden. Just kidding. If you need to eat, I'll give you some. Pray that it comes back bountifully.
Brother Todd's over 80 years old.
Brother Todd, I believe you could stand up and testify for an hour about the blessings of God, couldn't you?
88 years old. Wow. That puts Sister Todd up close to 90, Jerry. 89. Wow. Blessed beyond measure.
Came to the house of God. Sure, he's had his valleys. Sure, he's had his hard places. Sure, he's had his attacks physically. But guess what? He could testify today, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out having to beg for bread. God has kept him all these years. Why? Because that's God's plan. Oh, I like this next right. You have the right to see your children and grandchildren walking with God. Isaiah 54 and 13 says, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Acts 2 and 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. You have the right. We have 126 names on a prayer list that you call out every day. Somebody told me one day, I made this statement, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would save all 126? Preacher, you're dreaming again. Why is that dreaming? Why is that? Can't that just be simple faith? That says, God said, if I ask for it, it's going to happen. So I'm joining moms and dads throughout this congregation for their children and their grandchildren and their great-grands to be saved. The other day I had Landon with me, and we went to Lowe's, and I put on the Love Channel, K-Love, and he was listening to it. Next thing I know, we're out in the yard, and he's singing that song. I don't know how many times he's heard it, Josh, but he was singing it word for word, and I just stopped what I was doing and listened. I said, yes, yes, yes. Learn Scripture every week. Yeah, we give him money to do that. Hey, that's a reward. That's, you sow, you study, God rewards you. Might be through Mimi and Papaw, but I'm going to reward him. And you know what? That word gets in your heart. And the Bible says that if we get that word in our heart, it helps us to keep from doing what? Sinning against God. And I've made this discovery in talking to some people in the big churches, the hierarchy that we have now that always gets media attention. You know why they live like they do? They have no word. They don't know that it's wrong to cuss or lust or fuss. They don't know that it's wrong, not wrong to get rid of the mug to plug in the jug. They just keep doing it. Can I tell you something? There are things that I've given up that I cannot find Scripture for me giving them up. But I give them up because I feel like if I give this thing up, it will get me closer to God. But we're living in a generation that nobody wants to give up anything. Let me tell you something. We need to give up some things to get more of God. Think about it. You want to have the ability to speak life where there's death. You want to have the ability to speak joy where there's sorrow, peace where there's turmoil. Get in that word and ask God to anoint you. How many of you are saved? Guess what? The Holy Spirit's living inside of you. Some of you are sanctified, separated from the world. That means you don't partake of the things of the world. And then the third thing is you're full of the Holy Ghost. Going to ask a question. How many of you know that you're full of the Holy Ghost and fire? Amen. Not as many hands as we're saved, but we'll get there one day. I'm telling you, church, God wants us to be different. The sixth right is to enjoy, and this is where I'm going to close today. So you have to come back to get the other seven. I'm not even going to tell you what they are. The sixth right and final right this morning is to enjoy a loving, fulfilling relationship in life with someone very special to you. Now think about that for just a minute. Some of you are single. How many singles do we have here? Some of them are single on their way to being something else. Anyway, but they raised their hand as single for now. Present status. Can I just tell you something? God has somebody for you that you can spend the rest of your life with. Now, I've said this before, and I always get corrected on it, so I'm going to correct it before I even say it. If you're looking for a spouse, don't go looking in the bar. Jerry and Cricket are the only people I ever know met in a bar, made it all this time, served God. They're an exception to the rule, okay? The rest of you don't need to go bar hopping to find a spouse. You want to find a spouse, come to the house of God. Oh, yeah, Pat and Jen met in the bar. I forgot. That's two couples that have made it. Amen. Oh, Adrian and Sonia. Now y'all airing your dirty laundry. Okay. Tomo and Crystal, man. We got a bunch of heathens in our church. You know? Can I just tell you something? In reality, though, most of the time, you want to find a spouse, look in God's house. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'll just tell you a little secret I've learned about God's house and spouses. There's some devils in there, too, if you're not careful. I had a buddy of mine married a girl in church. Worst thing ever happened to him. You know, what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm trying to get you to see is this. God created male and female. He didn't create us to be alone. He created us to have a partnership with somebody through life. But he meant it to be permanent. He didn't mean for it to be destroyed. He didn't mean for it to be torn asunder. He meant for you to have a great life. My mom and dad are getting ready June the 2nd to celebrate 60 years of marriage. Whew. That's a long time. And I guarantee you, if you ask them if they ever fuss, they ain't going to lie to you. They'll tell you the truth. Mom, has it always been hunky-dory? Dad, has it always been easy? No. They're being honest. But you know what my dad taught me? Don't you ever go to bed mad at your spouse. Don't go to bed angry. Kiss and make up. That's the best time, the best fun. You ain't going no further with that, so stop right there. Okay. But what I want you to see is this. Listen to me, young people. How many young people we got there single? Raise your hand. You're still young. You're almost old as me. All right, listen. Sincerely pray that God send you a God-fearing spouse that will love you and treat you just like they would treat Jesus. And be intimate with them. Love them for all your life. Amen. It's not going to be easy. My wife and I are getting ready to celebrate 38 years. You think we've always had a good time around our house? Nah. You have children, you're going to have disagreements. You have grandchildren, guess what? The disagreements still come. And you can have nobody in the house but you and her, but guess what? One of these days, you're going to say, that meal just didn't get it. Or can't you do something with your hair? Or are those the right shoes to wear to the ball game? You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm coming from? You work at it! I had a guy tell me this not long ago in counseling. He said, Brother Gwynn, she don't look as good as she used to. I says, your mirror broke. What you mean? Go look in the mirror in the hallway bathroom and tell me what you see. And he wouldn't do it. I said, go look in the mirror. He went and looked in the mirror. I said, what'd you see? Me? I said, what's me look like? White hair, almost no hair, wrinkles upon wrinkles upon wrinkles. You don't look so hot either. But she's keeping your hide around because she loves you. We always want to blame the other person for our marriage not working. Understand, it takes two to make it work. So get over it. Genesis 2:18, God brought Eve to Adam for companionship, and you have that same right. Don't live beneath your privilege. God has somebody for you, but don't act out in desperation and accept any old thing. You hold on to what you've asked for. My mom and dad know the story. I was 18 years old, senior in high school, had dated all the girls in the church. Dated two girls at one time in the same family. That did not work well. Learning experience. And I begin to think, there's nobody in this church I want to spend the rest of my life with. And we had a revival, and in she walked. Purple polka-dotted miniskirt and top, she walked. And when I saw her, I said, that's the one. Amen. 38 years later, still got it. I had a dream one night here. And I told my son, he's dated all kinds of crazy women. I said, I had a dream, Josh. He did. About your first wife. He wasn't planning on getting married. And I said, she's tall, blonde-headed. Couldn't see the distinct features of her face, but she was almost as tall as you, and you came walking hand in hand across that back door to church one Sunday morning. And they walked in together, and I said, I kind of chuckled on the pulpit. I said, that's her. That's her. That's my future daughter-in-law. Guess what? They'd be married almost 8 years. Two beautiful kids. I'm trying to bargain for number three. They don't want to hear of it. But guess what? They've made it. Has it always been easy? No. But you know what? They know if they put God first and God is at the center of everything, they can make it. And I told him, like my dad told me, don't ever go to bed mad or angry. Get over it. I love you. And I want this church to outshine all the others. And you can do that when you know your rights as children of God. Sister Hattie, if you'll come to the piano, I promised you something this morning. I promised y'all a prayer line. 12:25. It's all right.